The following audio is via a Skype call.
Welcome to Energy Works Radio with Atana Badilli. Have you ever wondered what has been gripping your power and light, shutting you off from your potential? Wonder no more. Energy Works Radio with one of the world's leading healers and transformation catalyst, Atana, will help you map out a pathway to create the life you truly desire. Atana brings his ability to see energy patterns to help you become the conductor of your own higher self. Get ready to unhook from those limiting agreements and patterns to create a greater fullness of expression of your soul. Say yes to the creative energy within you and stand in the power of this place to honor your gifts, recognize your skills, and extend outward in the world. Why? For the highest good imaginable. Now here's your amazing host, Atana Badilli.
Hello and welcome. I'm Atana. I'm happy to have you here on the show today. And we also have Carol with us, Carol Bratcher. She is also from Nashville. And she studied the Atana method, energy healing work, for me for a long time. And I remember when we started out, we had one experience in one of these classes, and I'm always looping back to this place where she said, "But I don't see anything. I don't see anything. All right." And we're gonna come in a second to it and how you developed, Carol. Welcome to the show, Carol. And why don't you say a little bit about yourself, what's happening in your life, where you're at, what you're doing?
Well, thank you again, Atana. I am happy to be here on your show. And as you said, boy, what a journey it's been. I've been working with you for 9 years now. And you're absolutely right. I started out with you, that was true. I don't see anything. And today, I am a full-time energy healer. I see clients here in Nashville. I also do distance healing sessions and am moving forward with my life into my purpose of being an energy healer. And I've done so with your loving, gentle, and patient support.
I'm sure there was some ungentle moments in there too. we had quite a journey. And when I say ungentle, sometimes when we go to transformation, everything is not just beautiful and easy and flowing. Sometimes we confront deeper patterns, and also a lot of stagnations that are coming up that want to be addressed. And not that they cannot be mentioned gentle, but they don't feel nice often.
Yes, that is true. And I have had plenty of that on my journey. I, like we spoke about in the beginning, as I sat there with my classmates and hearing them ask questions and seem to have greater knowledge than what I felt like I had, I didn't see, my third eye wasn't open. I didn't feel, and I remember having a little, maybe a little tantrum about that. I remember not doing my homework and coming in to see you one day and, arms folded saying, "I'm mad because I can't see and I can't feel and I can't do all of this." And but you reminded me then that, even 2% is still 2%. And to grab hold of that and work with that 2%, and that shows me just, when I look back on that, it gives me a glimpse into like how you support people, because it's like no matter how how thin the sliver of light is, and in my case it was pretty thin, there was still light that I could look to, that I could, you know, hold on to and find that commitment to move forward with.
Yes.
And so moving...
Go ahead.
Well, and moving forward with that, like you said, it isn't always easy. And there, I went through journeys of opening up my childhood abuse issues, and, you know, and learning about abuse programming and victim programming, and holding on to that sliver of light.
Yes.
And moving through that.
Yes. And interestingly, with these 2% that were available, and fortifying these 2% that you did felt, that you did saw, expanding it to the 100%, or at least to the 90%, what gives you so much more insight and openings in psychic awareness, psychic views and experiences. Now you're like a full-blown energy healer. You can do distance healing sessions, and you get like images over images, and now you have to kind of sort them even out.
Yes, that's true. And it's really fun, you know, when you think about the journey of where I started from and where I am now. It is, I feel I'm proof that anybody can do this, right? I mean, if you have that commitment and that you have that desire, then all it takes is that focus, that and a little bit of discipline to just keep doing the techniques that you teach us.
Absolutely. And you are, at this point, you're doing energy healing sessions in person, and you're doing also distance healing work, right?
Yes.
Okay, and do you have a website already on?
Yes, my website is Carol Bratcher, energyhealer.com.
Uh-huh.
And my contact information is on there, but can also be reached by phone at 615-585-6389.
Uh-huh. And before we started to do energy work, on this energy work and healing journey, what was your profession before that?
I was a speech-language pathologist for 23 years, working in healthcare.
And how come that you had, like, the idea, like, I'm going to be an energy healer?
Well, you know, when I look back on that, I can see how life takes you places, even though you don't know it, right? Like, In my journey to be a speech-language pathologist, it brought me to Tennessee, to the University of Tennessee in Knoxville. And my marriage then ultimately brought me near Nashville. And being near Nashville ultimately connected me with people who started opening up my awareness. I can remember in the beginning days, back in the 90s, you know, it was such a time then that if you found a like-minded person who might be interested in, you know, expansion or even thinking on the cutting edge of things, you had to kind of pull them around the corner. I literally remember talking to a friend about the benefits and how much better organic carrots tasted when they made a juice, you know, I mean, but, you know, we've, even as a culture, we've progressed a long way since then, and where it's, you know, much more accepted now, and as I've learned through you, you know, that we just keep getting these light impulses being fed to the planet, where we're waking up, and we're waking up, and we're waking up, and I feel that in my particular case, one thing that helped me move into the realm of energy healing is that I've always been interested in that kind of broader view of, I love Star Trek. So I loved having my mind expanded through the propositions that Star Trek episode would propose.
Oh, yeah, I remember our conversations in Star Trek realms. That yeah. helped to open a lot of the views. You're absolutely right there.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that there are wonderful beings whose job it is to plant these little seeds around there. People write science fiction novels, screenplays, you know, television series. And I think I picked up on these even when I didn't know I was picking up on them. So that when I started the work with you and, you know, I'm letting more light in and utilizing your techniques, then these things would start to, I would remember some of these kernels, these seeds that had been planted in the past, and things would start to make sense. It's like puzzle pieces starting to come together.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And now you're on the journey supporting others to move forward into their purpose and into their healing and serving yourself and also the planet. And that's a big service. In one way, when I look at the service of supporting other beings to step into their consciousness, into their power, then I started on that journey, well, I don't want to be alone in this place, right? And then, like, as the consciousness, as the healing energy spread like a healing wave, so more and more people are waking up, and you're ultimately not alone in that healing awareness, in that sensitivity of feeling, of sensing, and flowing with the whole. That was like an initial strong intention.
Yes, and that is something that, you know, I remember asking you in the early years, you know, why did I wait so long to wake up? Mm-hmm. And I remember you telling me that, you know, the 23 years that I spent in my previous career has, you know, provided me with a beautiful foundation. And as I work with my clients, I find that so true. Not just my years of experience in healthcare and supporting people in their communication, but also the life experience that I had during that time. And so I, like I mentioned earlier, I revisited childhood issues and we healed and transformed that. On this journey, I've learned about parasitic energies and how to, you know, deal with that and transform parasitic energies. And most importantly, I've learned about the pull of the duality and the mass consciousness in the family that I was living in, the family dynamics and the pull and the hooks. And so when my clients come to me and we talk about their real life situations, it's like what you just said, they have that sense that they want to move forward, but there's also that fear that they'll be alone if they do, and because they'll be leaving the situation that they currently know and are fearing the unknown because they're still in that duality consciousness of separation.
Oh, that's beautifully put, Carol. And also the comfort that we experienced even in the dysfunction has a sense of, well, at least I know what I have to endure compared to the unknown miracles of life and support and love and light that we could experience outside there, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. And that just begets stagnation, as I have also learned thoroughly about. that the whole law of inertia, right? If you're sitting still, you're more likely to sit still. And when you're comfortable with, when the life that you know is waiting for the other shoe to drop, then that's what you know. And yeah, it's difficult to navigate or even to imagine that things could be different if you were free. You know, like I remember you saying that the best freedom is freedom from limitation. And a lot of us don't even know that we're in the limitation to even imagine being free from it.
Well, you definitely made a big, big step forward. And the moment you decided, I'm going to go into energy healing work for myself and others, that's when everything started to become visible. And sometimes we even saw the limitations and thought about the limitations as expansion. And now you're like stepping into the full oneness that's existing, the unlimitedness, the vastness, you know. And I'm seeing you still also coming to the one-ments, what I really still appreciate you coming and showing up, doing your work. And also by, if somebody would decide, for example, to be an energy healer today, what would you tell them? What would you suggest, you know, to watch out for? What would you tell them in general? What comes up to mind when you say somebody comes and says, I want to be an energy healer and I want to do it now? What would you say?
Okay. Well, let's do it. First of all, let's start the energy work. One of the first tenets of what you teach is let the energy do the work. Mm-hmm. So that's the courage that it takes someone to step forward and even make that proclamation should be applauded, because that takes courage and bravery, as we just discussed.
Yes.
So from there, we get on the table or we do the phone session and we activate their energy, activate the healing light within them. Mm-hmm. And I like to think of it as a full process of not only are we activating the healing light and balancing the chakras and transforming that which is ready to be transformed, but along the line we're also growing the consciousness, because when you have that balance of moving, clearing with the energy, bringing more light in, claiming your space, you need to have that balance of expansion of consciousness to go along with it, so that you can accommodate that new light, that new healing energy that's within you. Nice. And step by step, methodically, that's how we move this person forward into oneness and into the energy healer that they innately are.
Mm-hmm. And when problems, deeper issues coming up for the person, what is their initial response? Let's say person has one or two sessions and you're kind of coming across a really deep pattern and you can see there's a lot of heaviness in there and you are addressing it. What is the usual response from people?
Well, the usual response is, I don't know what's happening. it depends on their awareness, but they're either thrown into fear, or they're thrown into anger, or they're thrown into hopelessness. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, it's usually a pull back into some sort of negative emotion.
Yes.
And so the reminder is always to keep focused on the light and keep focused on what it is you want to do and where it is you want to go and what it is you want to be. Mm-hmm. And then call me and we'll do more energy work and clear that stagnation or that limitation or that implant or attachment or that program, whatever it is that has come forth that's causing the discomfort.
Mm. Perfect. The other thing is, a lot of the times when people do energy work, they come in and say, well, I have never done this, and they just kind of just want to experience it. How would you approach that?
Then that's the best way to learn about energy work is to experience it. Mm-hmm. So because you want it to be because energy work, the energy work that you teach is mm-hmm. multidimensional in nature. So it's not something that you can limit with just words. So the best way to understand it is to feel it and go forward from there. And the other thing about this energy work that you teach is that it's the process. You know, we talked about whether it's gentle or not, but certainly it can be very gentle. Mm-hmm. And when we do go into the deeper emotions, by that time the person usually has a foundation of understanding how the energy work feels and understanding the difference between how they were before, or you know, they have a session and they feel good for a few days and then maybe something comes up. Maybe they get a pit in their stomach or, you know, unexplained anger, or somebody in their family does something that just evokes rage or something. Mm-hmm. There's a process there of helping the person understand that there's a process of when something's ready to be transformed, it makes itself visible.
Yes.
In one way or another. And so even though sometimes there's these deeper aspects, by and large, especially in the beginning, it's a gentle process so that you can get your sea legs, so to speak, right?
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful, beautifully put. Now, the in the beginning, when you know, and I notice also from myself when I work with people that coming in for the first time, it's not always like about the clearing of the deeper patterns. Sometimes it's just they're overwhelmed or they're stressed. And the beautiful aspect of the method that we're working with is it addresses you where you are. So it kind of flows with you whichever level you're at. And if you want to go deeper, it does accommodate you. And a lot of the times I had wonderful beings that decided, you know, I really want to go deeper. And then they kind of went into the depth and they saw the amount of transformation that still needs to take place, and they got a little bit discouraged. And a lot of them were on the verge of giving up, and some of them gave up on their spiritual journey. What was your experience there?
Yes, I see that too. And it also, hand in hand with that, I think, is the coming and going of consciousness. You know, it's like they they come in and they want to do this. They want to be there. They want the energy. They want to see. They want to know. And then, like you said, if they start to experience what's ready to be transformed, sometimes it does frighten them, and mm-hmm. they just like turn it off. And that's when I try to reach out and let them know that I'm still there. And that you know, you described this to me one time, and I use this often with my clients, that the other, like, I'm speaking to what you just spoke about, how it mm-hmm. works with the client where they're at. And what I did was methodically move forward one step at a time. Every session, it was, okay, what are we dealing with in this session? And let's work through this and then move forward. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, the person develops a firm foundation. As you explained to me, if we take a quantum leap forward, which is what we all want to do when we first mm-hmm. enter the world and the concept of energy work, and, you know, like, oh, I want to be all-seeing and all-knowing and be pure and happy and one and all right now. If you take a quantum leap forward like that, any faltering or misstep, then just you take a quantum leap back. But when you move forward in this methodical way, one step at a time, one tool at a time, one session at a time, then you lay this firm foundation, this bridge, literally, to walk on as you walk out of the duality and into the oneness.
Yes. And it's like the example. And it's very amazing for me sometimes how when we approach energy work or see people, how sometimes people approach energy work in the way of, well, energy work and healing and spiritual development and everything should be easy. It shouldn't be that hard because there's so many teachings out there. It says, you know, everything is already there. You just have to remember it. But ultimately, it's like anything else that you're learning, anything else that you're studying. It depends on the focus that you have on what you want to learn. And a lot of people come with that idea that, well, you know, well, Jesus healed and he didn't charge anything. And you know, healing should be free and it should be just available for everyone. And, you know, partially everything is available for everyone at the same time. But even if you look at the Christ teachings and the Christ healings and what even they were doing, they got compensated for in terms of food, of shelter, and even money. But when it comes to spiritual development in the West, we are not really focused on that. It takes an effort, except maybe in a money exchange or something. And in the Eastern traditions, it was very much ingrained that there was a work, a focus, a dedication that was required. And it's very interesting how we have this idea we should be right there. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that because technically we're already there. But it's like the universe, the irony of the universe. If you show the universe that you're going to do everything required to get there, you might be as well be already there. And the universe removes often these obstacles or the memory blockages and gives us clear insight. But at the same time, I do care, love to utilize this example. If we make 100 steps in this one moment, chances are, if we get in any form affected or in any form we forget, we're also falling back 100 steps. And with the one step at a time approach, we really go into the multidimensionality of all the steps, because in one step, there's all the steps. Why limiting it to 100 or 1,000 steps when with this one step, we have unlimited step access to our unlimitedness, to our wholeness, to our energy presence? And that's why there is no difference between the 100 steps and the one step, or the unlimited steps and the one steps, because the action is the same. The action is we still have to make that step.
Yes, that's exactly right. That multidimensionality of your work, as we talked about, yes, that's where the healing is, and that's why your method is as comprehensive as it is. But it's also why what people want to do, and I know what I wanted to do in the beginning was, well, I want to be able to heal people.
Yes.
But then you find out that there's all this stuff within uh-huh. you, right? Well, yes. That's where that multidimensionality that you were talking about comes into play, because how more clear you are as a healer, how more clear of a channel you're going to be for the healing light to come in to support the person you're working with. And that's where a lot of people get tripped up, is having that fortitude, courage, mm-hmm. bravery, I don't know what it is exactly, to face that which needs to be transformed, which it is different for every person. And we all come here with whatever lessons they are that we want to learn. And those are usually the scariest things for us, walking through fear, walking through abuse, you know, walking through victim mentality. And but having the consciousness of knowing that's what you're doing when you're working through it, mm-hmm. for me anyway, felt that it didn't make it easy, but it made it doable.
Absolutely right. And you know, when I started on this healing journey, a lot of the times I looked at myself and said, man, I must be really messed up. There's like so much stuff that I need to work on. And more stuff came to the surface. How deeper I was digging. And I was digging like so deep into the lineage, into past lives, and then deeper and deeper into like the oneness, manifestation of myself from the oneness, and even every experience that I made visible in myself, as I was clearing it, though, it made me a little bit lighter in some way or form. So I didn't make that connection initially like, oh, what I eat has an impact on my body, you know. So what I was thinking, and then it translates back, what I think has an impact. What I have done in past lives has an impact on my current life. So once I made that connection, I started to focus more on clearing myself up, to clear that channel, because we are all like amazing channels. And how clearer this channel is, how more the divine can flow through us and inspire and heal effortlessly. It doesn't really have to be work anymore, because ultimately the energy works itself. And how more we go into the depth of self-healing, how more people, for example, that we know will come up and say, hey, how did you do this? You were like in that stagnation and now you're thriving. How did you change your life? And that's how the universe, the multiverse, brings us the beings that need our support, that require is specifically our insight that we have to offer.
Yes, and becoming clearer and clearer, as you said, with the self-healing requires focused discipline. It does become easier, but you have to put the effort in the beginning. That do the energy work. You know, it's like a broken record, right? Do the energy work. Just do the energy work, and the self-healing, the techniques that you teach, come from your oneness. You know, from your knowledge of the multidimensionality. And therefore are so comprehensive that if people will just do that, you know, I have clients that have taken your class and, you know, we have sessions and they're like, well, I don't know what to do. We'll do the energy work. Do the energy work. And yeah. But I also know at the same time that hesitation sometimes to do the work, to be focused on it, comes from the pull of the duality and the mass consciousness and all these voices floating around that sometimes stick to us about, like as you said, things that come up from the past, from the lineage or from past lives or from current lives where programming has taken place of being unworthy or, you know, not able to accomplish things and things like that. And that defeatist programming mm-hmm. sometimes takes place. And so, but then yes. you have to override that with that mental discipline. It is a spiritual thing, but it also does take mental discipline. And as you just described, you had the mental discipline in your early years. You sat there over and over and over and did this energy work. As you developed your method, you developed it through hours and hours and hours of working with energy.
It's amazing. It's amazing how many hours I remember doing energy work. I was doing energy work, and I remember my my brother bringing friends home, and I did energy work like in the middle of the living room. And I remember at a specific time, I was like, oh, I discovered an amazing pattern. And I wanted to go deeper into it to clear the programming. And I remember my brother and his friends coming in and out, and I'm just deep in, involved in my energy work, barely recognizing what they really were saying. And I say, man, your brother needs to work. He needs to do something. You know, he needs to go to work. Or I mean, he's just sitting there. He's doing nothing. And when I look back, I was changing and shifting deep internal patterns. And once I was changing my life, what they say is like, how did you do this? How did you change your life that fast? And then I said, do you remember when I was sitting in the living room and doing my energy work? But they say, man, you was not doing anything. I said, I was doing internal work, internal healing work. And that prepared me and prepared and activated these changes so that the energetically, the changes magnetically were prepared, and then they took place physically. And once I realized the internal work has an immediate impact, or sometimes a little bit of a delayed impact on the physical, but the delay is getting shorter and shorter since the frequencies are building up and raising higher and higher. So whatever we are thinking of is already manifesting faster. And a lot of humanity is still thinking miserable thoughts, and we have to get them out of these thought patterns. How faster we, we do energy work, how easier we get insights like a fresh river into a stagnant lake, and it clears the lake, it clears the mind, it clears the heart. And I still have people that I'm, you know, told this like 100 times, and they say, well, I don't know what's holding me back to do my energy work. I said, just do it. Don't think about it. Make this like your first action in the morning. Do your energy work. And then I have some of the peeps coming back and saying, and I'm asking, did you do your energy work this week? I said, well, I did it once, you know, and every, you know, even once is great, better than not doing the energy work. But doing energy work is one of the greatest and deepest forms of expressing our self-love to ourselves and increasing self-love. Because whenever we are in energy deficiency because we feel abandoned or rejected, or we feeling like we are in that separation, every time we do this energy work, it does connect us back to the oneness consciousness. And with that oneness consciousness, we get back into an overall flow of wholeness. And when we are whole, even just for a second, it's like a jump start, and our whole system starts recharging.
And that's the beauty of the work that you've devised when you teach us the self-healing. You know, sometimes those programs are so strong, even just saying self-love to someone or having them say it themselves can trigger like a defensive response, right?
Uh-huh.
And that's the beauty of your what you've taught us with the self-healing is that is like a protective measure for that defense mechanism. Because
absolutely,
even though you're increasing, even though you're increasing your self-love, you kind of trick the mind, you know, because you're focusing on maybe not those words, you're focusing on the healing energy and you're focusing on your chakras. But ultimately, the effect is you're telling the universe, I love myself enough to bring this light into my being and claim more of my space.
Very, very true. Yes.
It's kind of a sneaky, you have to kind of be sneaky sometimes.
Well, the programming that we expose to from childhood on and lineage wise is very, very intricate. And when you even just see what a hold on of food has on our system, it's very similar like candida or parasites in our digestive system. They make us crave something and we think we want to eat this. So it's even deeper with these patterns that are ingrained in us, and we have to bypass them with about anything that we can in order to get to our wholeness. And a lot of people just don't see the depth of it, and so because they don't see the depth of it, they don't realize the importance of applying these systems on a daily basis, because they just don't see the system. And we constantly bombarded with these communications of programmings, of manipulations from corporations that just wants to us to buy pizza and cars, you know?
Exactly. And therefore by the abuse and deception, right?
Yes, yes. Well, this is really awesome to have you here, and you're making a lot of progress in your personal life as well. I'm very happy to see how you're getting into your power, and we had an amazing experience once you tap deeper into the oneness and you unveil the deeper patterns of the duality in yourself and in your lineage. And every time you get deeper, you're clearing, I think, at this point, not just yourself, but the lineage, and probably like hundreds of thousands of people at the same time that are related in one way or the other to our personal incarnation on this planet, you know?
I've heard you say that before, and that's really quite an awe-inspiring concept, because it's quite a fascinating journey to get this glimpse of oneness that we get, and standing here where I am, where I feel that I'm getting these glimpses of the oneness, it kind of reminds me of when we're children and a special event is coming up, your birthday or something, and it seems so far away and time seems to drag on, and then you get to be older and you're in high school and you're like, oh yeah, I got this time thing figured out. You know, it seems so slow when I was little. And I remember that process with me. I went to college and thought, oh boy, I didn't know what I was talking about, and now I do. And then I joined the work world, and boy, I didn't think I knew what I was talking about, and now I do. Well, I relate that to the oneness concept. When I first heard about oneness, I could appreciate it in an intellectual view, right? So, okay, yeah, that's good, oneness. And then, I begin this journey with you and clear the programming, work with the duality, clear the stagnations, clear limitations, you know, bit by bit, step by step. And along the way, I'll get another, you know, like a deeper glimpse of oneness. And wow, mm-hmm. Oh, that's oneness, you know. And then a little bit later, I'll get another glimpse of oneness.
Wow.
And I can see this pattern, you know, this pattern. And I know your teachings, they teach us that the multiverse is expanding. Everything is expansion. So I think that goes along with the idea of, I remember in the early years, I just wanted to be can't I just do this now and be done with it? Can I just learn everything in a weekend and be done? And, I've had to learn that that's not the way it works. And it goes along with this ever expanding idea of what oneness is, that the more I evolve, the more the concept of oneness evolves. And I feel that is something that's one of those programs that sometimes limits us, this idea, this construct that we have of our here in the West, where you go to school and you learn and you take a test and you're done. And a lot of people come to energy work that way too. You come, I want to be an energy healer. I'm going to take the class and then I'm done. And what has to happen is this, you have to accept that it's going to continue to unfold. It's going to continue to unfold, and you're going to have a greater understanding of what's trying to hold you back, what's trying to interfere, and that you're going to want to just keep your focus on that oneness and not look at what's trying to interfere and hold you back.
Yes, that's beautiful. Well, I mean, it can be intense when we look at the sheer amount, when we have like a short insight and expansion of our psychic view, and we can see the amounts of what still needs to be transformed, but we have not yet the full consciousness or tools to transform it, then of course it's going to be overwhelming. And specifically when the third eye starts to open, we see more and more, but we are not really fully stepped into our energy potential or into our energy awareness that gives us access to the unlimited oneness energy workforce, so to speak, you know. Mm-hmm. And whenever we look at these patterns, even they might look like mountains in internally or spiritually or even physically or emotionally even. And when we start to go deeper and deeper into our view and expanding our third eye view, then we also have to step forward with the energy consciousness, with the energy awareness of knowing that we can do with our energy work change and have an impact on about any stagnation, any problem, any trauma, anything or everything that is still in our system unresolved. That energy requires energy healing from us to, so it can transform. Every stagnation waits for us to wake up. So, and as we're waking up, that's the signals for our main consciousness or the oneness that we're waking up and we are in this process of awakening, and we get truly the attention of the divine. And that's happening with a lot of, you know, people may say, well, I meditate or I do sports or I do this or that. Energy work is like its own activity. Even if we meditate, it's not the same as energy work. And we do try, even when we go into the oneness, to put everything in one concept. And in some way it is. But there is still, each part in this oneness has its right to be. That means the energy work has its own space. The meditation has its own space. The love, self-love has its own space. But at the same time, there is a current that runs through all of the multiverse, and we can utilize this current for our self-healing and healing for others, if that makes sense.
Yes, absolutely. And that brings us back to that focused discipline, or just do the work, just do the work. It's like you said, it's a little bit different from meditation. It's not just clearing your mind and having it be empty. You know, you're forming mental representations. You're working with the energy. You're focusing on what you're doing, and mm-hmm. learning. For me, just learning how to be grounded was, mm-hmm. That was another one of those evolutions, like the concept of oneness. I remember in those early days with you, I think I can truly say I didn't have a clue what it meant to be grounded. I think I was so ungrounded, that even just the word, all I could imagine was, the earth, the ground. And that is another thing that has just taken practice of trying to understand it, doing energy work towards it, working with the crystals and the stones mm-hmm. that you teach us about that support us in being grounded. And it only through that, you know, can you expand further with the energy work and the process of self-healing.
Yes, yes. And you know, the interesting part is, if a person is in their 2 or 3 or 10% of their energy use of their physical body or mental, emotional, or spiritual, then their fully groundedness is still 10%. Right? And so every time we talk about being grounded and connected to the earth, at that moment, it might be the highest level of groundedness for the person. But compare this to the unlimitedness of grounding possibilities and grounding force, it's just a drop in the ocean, right? And so every time we go into the deeper aspects of grounding, and I think it's an important part that you also mentioning the grounding, because when you ground the energies, that means you're grounding your healing work. That means you're grounding yourself in your new life, and you're grounding the energy healing in all areas of your life. And when that happens, changes will, of course, occur faster, because we already are in that bringing it in, utilizing it, and literally grounding it into our lives, grounding it into this planet, ultimately, as a memory.
Yeah, and that idea of claiming our space, that's another tenet that you have taught me over the years, and that speaks to our past programs of worthiness, and to come forward with the idea that I am worthy, and I'm telling the universe, I'm worthy of being here, and I'm worthy of claiming my space. And, you know, I learned that when I worked with the parasitic energies within me, claiming my space back and claiming that I'm going to fill my space with the healing light, with the light of oneness, the light of love.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is what we want to teach others, that they are worthy to claim their own space. And you can, you know, learn that through being grounded and working with the energy work. Stake your claim.
That's right. And that's right. And this is like the original energy homestead. So we have a couple more minutes left. Carol, I would like to let our wonderful listeners know where they can reach you and where they can book a healing session with you.
Okay. Yes, I'm Carol Bratcher, and my webpage is carolbratcherenergyhealer.com, or they can call me at 615-585-6389.
That's awesome. And I have another class coming up in September. That's September the 25th. It's 24th, 25th, 26th, and that's the Energy Healer Intensive in September. You can also find the info on atanamethod.com, ATANAMETHOD.com. And I wish you a wonderful day, everybody. Is there any words of wisdom that you have for our listeners, Carol, for today?
Find your courage. I think that's the best thing. If this is what you have been thinking about, if this is something that intrigues you, find the courage within you to step forward and say, this is what I want.
Thank you for listening to Energy Works Radio with Atana Badili. Each show, Atana provides listeners with live energy healing meditations and tools to shed the layers of limitation and reveal the powerful life force within that can conceive, achieve, and activate you for an amazing life. For more information and to book a session with Atana, please visit atanamethod.com. That's atanamethod.com. And tune in next time for Energy Works Radio with Atana.
The preceding audio was via a Skype call.